This episode of The Underground with Ms. Brown is sponsored by, yikes, nobody. But you lovely listeners out there can change that. If you would like to sponsor an episode of the podcast, please contact me at undergroundmsbrown@gmail.com. Again, that is undergroundmsbrown@gmail.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another fabulous episode of The Underground with Ms. Brown. I am Ms. Brown and welcome. How are you doing out there on this day of the pandemic, the revolution, and maybe World War III still? Also, happy spooky season. I know, right? It's like, what, the sixth? Yeah. It's like the sixth and we are officially into spooky season. I know some people celebrate it earlier, which is absolutely fabulous. I'm one of those people who, you know, I'm very like, it has to be on time. So I was pretty much on the first. I had my stuff up outside. I don't really have a lot of decorations inside, but I'm hoping I can change that immediately. But I hope you guys are doing well. I know it has been a long time since I have gotten on my big silver dick for all of you. I hope you missed me because I very much missed you. needless to say, some of you who are listeners to the show and my mug who know me and my muggle life, you know what has been going on. But for those of you who listen to the show and don't know me in muggle life and only know me through this podcast, I will share a little bit with you. So my birthday was last month in September. I decided to drag Michael and myself out to California because I've always wanted to go there. And of course, I wanted to go to Disney. You know, I'm a Disney nerd. That's just my thing. I love it. Get over it. It's my fucking thing. So we go out there and I'm having a blast. Oogie Boogie is amazing. Disneyland is incredibly small. Like everyone tells me, they're like, oh, it's so small. And I'm like, it can't be that small. Fuck you. Disneyland is incredibly small. It is super wicked small. And the crowd was insane. We came across some locals, some pass holders, And they said, yeah, we've never seen it this busy before. And I'm like, well, shit. So luckily we were staying out there for about a week and a half. So we got to pace ourselves. We didn't have to like blow ourselves out. The first day we were there, I got lots of great pictures. There we go. I got lots of great pictures, had a blast at Disneyland. Then we spent 2 days at California Adventure. We did their Halloween party, which is Oogie Boogie Bash. That was fucking awesome. That was amazing. It was the coolest fucking thing. We actually missed a lot of characters. So we are actually planning on going back in a couple of years. We'll go back out there and you pretty much have to do Oogie Boogie twice just to see everything, because that's how fucking wild it is. I did do Avengers Campus during the day. I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't know this by now, I am a bit of a Marvel nerd. I love everything about it. Even before the MCU came into, I was like a closet MCU nerd, or not even MCU, just Marvel comic book nerd. My grandmother got me into them. One of the first comic books she gave me was a Spider-Man comic book. And I had been, yeah, Spider-Man was my gateway drug into Marvel comic books. And then I just had a goddamn blast. The interactions with the characters roaming around, because they don't stand in one spot. They don't have a meet and greet spot like they do here at Walt Disney World. So Disneyland and California Adventure, they're just roaming. And so you can walk with them, talk with them. It was absolutely fucking amazing. I did see Spider-Man out there, but I didn't get to really interact with him until my last day at California Adventure. We went there at night, and I'd built a Tesseract, and I had my Loki helm, and I was a Loki variant for Oogie Boogie, but then I wanted some pictures at night, so I got my helm and my Tesseract out, and Loki is standing on top of Avengers Campus, and he's like, oh, I see you brought me something. And I said, no, this is not for you. This is for this universe. I'll give it to you in the next one. So as I was holding it, the Spider-Man came over and stood in front of me and was like, it's not what you think it is. It's a Bluetooth speaker. Yeah. And I was like, I wanted to say, I've been chasing you around this fucking place for 2 days. And all I had to do was whip out a goddamn Tesseract, and then you noticed me. It was absolutely amazing. I was dying laughing. I kind of wish I had gotten video of it, but I just got pictures. And oh my gosh, that was fucking amazing. I saw the Doctor Strange interaction. It's a really cool fucking magic show. If anybody in California who's listening to the show, or anybody who has a desire to go out there, I need you to see that Doctor Strange show. It was really cool. We got to see America Chavez. She came out through the portal, and she had this urn, and she was talking about how she wanted to hold pizza in the urn. Nobody made a sound except for me. I just went, oh my God, no. And I must have said it loud enough through my mask. The Doctor Strange goes, I know, right? That's awful. Why would you do that? And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I also met their Iron Man. Oh, fuck. Listen, you know they had to pay Robert Downey Jr. some really good money, because it sounds just like him. I mean, I know how it works because we have the same tech. As I slap my dick, bam, bam. We have the same tech at Walt Disney World, at Hollywood Studios for Darth Vader and Kylo Ren and the Stormtroopers. It's all the same tech. So, but it was, oh my gosh, it was absolutely amazing. And I cannot wait to go back, because I have to do a do-over. Why am I going to do a do-over? Let me tell you. I have to do a do-over of my trip because as I was gone, there was an unexpected death in my family. I don't really want to go into the specifics of who it was, but those of you who know me in Muggle life know this is someone in my immediate family that passed while I was on my vacation. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't fly home immediately. Family members were calling me thinking that I was right down the street, and I'm telling all of them I'm 3,000 fucking miles away and there's nothing I can do. So I had to deal with that. The minute I came off the plane from my trip, it was the business of death. And it's still the business of death, even today. When I had to, before I got on my big silver dick for all of you, I had to go to the funeral home to sign papers for cremation because that paperwork was not given to us when we originally, us meaning my brother and I, before the service. And I was cursing all the way in the car there. I was having a real fucking fit. So I was just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But, you know, my brother was there, thank God. And we did it, signed papers for cremation. And now we're waiting for everything else to come through. Aside from that, after the business of death, if you are unaware, Florida experienced a hurricane. Yeah, this was our first hurricane of the season. Hurricane Ian came through like a bat out of fucking hell and decided to rip, run, and rocket all through South Florida. Then decided to come to Central Florida, take all the water that it had sucked out of South Florida and Western Florida, all of that Tampa area, and dump it into Central Florida. Dumped it so much that there are pictures. Lake Eola was completely flooded. I don't know if it still is, but from the pictures, it looked like it was. It looks like it's still flooded. There's still road closures. There's a water advisory. Our local sewage place, OUC, has said you have to monitor your water usage as far as laundry and doing dishes and showering and usage of toilets because the sewage system is getting back the fuck up. So we had to deal with a fucking hurricane. And then on top of that, as I was on vacation, I was 30 days out from selling tickets for my burlesque show, Ms. Brown's Colors of Burlesque, that I've mentioned on here multiple times. I did everything that I usually do. I put the tickets on sale 30 days ahead. I wasn't posting as much the second week the tickets went on sale because I was dealing with the business of death. And then there were a lot of people who were dealing with the hurricane, so I didn't want to seem insensitive. Well, I should have been a little insensitive. Because of me not being insensitive, I have not sold as many tickets as I would like, and now I'm coming up to a hard producer decision. Do I cancel the show that is next Saturday, or do I go on with the show with a very small audience? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the roughest 4 weeks of my life to this point. I have had a rougher amount of time before 2018. That was horrible. I got out of a relationship. I lost my grandmother, my job, and my car all in the span of 90 days. That was in 2018. And it looks like 4 years later, the wheel of fortune has turned to the downside, and now I'm getting it all again. Not in 90 days, but in 4 weeks. I don't want to count my birthday week as a bad week, but I think it was just the happiness that I had felt to finally be able to have adult money to do this trip I've been waiting my entire life to do ever since my mother told me that Disneyland was a thing when I was 7, you know. I've been waiting 30 years to do this trip, and finally I get to do it, and then it gets tainted with a fucking death, a hurricane, and low ticket sales. Ladies and gentlemen, I am beat the absolute fuck up. When situations like this happen, not the death of the hurricane, but when situations like low ticket sales happen, I always blame myself. You know, my cast is doing an amazing job with promoting, but when it's things like this, I always go, well, what the fuck did I do wrong? You know, I do have a terrible tendency of not asking people for help. And I got to get over that shit. You know, we all have that one thing that we don't do out of pride. Mine is asking others for help. I don't really know if it's pride or if it's just whenever I ask people for help, nobody comes. So, you know, there's the side of that, of I want to ask people to help me. I want sponsorships. I want donations for this show, because doing this show, the podcast is not easy. It costs money. That's why I always ask for donations at the end of the show. And I guess I need to start asking for more donations or selling merch or something, anything, because it's fucking incredibly hard. People do not understand how difficult it is to produce a podcast or to produce a show, as I'm knocking into things, such as Colors of Burlesque, and how much of a labor. Not only is it a labor of love, but it is a labor. You know, this show and Colors of Burlesque and My Shop Virgo Vanity, those are my babies. And I love them very much. And I am at a point where I am struggling on how to show my babies off better, or the right ways to show my babies off, or how to, you know, obtain funds to keep my babies growing and successful, because those babies are a reflection of me. I know that I have to get out of this space of people not wanting to see what I have to offer, because, you know, I see my peers online all the time, and they're just like posting, this is what I did, look at my costume, blah, 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 blah. In my head, outwardly, I'm like, oh my God, this is adorable. I love it. And I am. I do. I love it and it's adorable. But inwardly, I'm like, I could never do that because nobody wants to see the shit that I want to know. Nobody wants to see my artistic side or my creative side or my funny side or my serious side, or nobody wants to see that shit, you know? And I get that stuck in my head because, you know, I've had a really interesting childhood and that's a product of that thought. So I guess I better get off my fucking ass and do something about it. And I want to say that to you, you know, anybody, if you're listening to this and you're, and any of what I'm saying is fucking resonating with you, we got to get off our asses together. Okay. We really do. We really have to get off our asses together, and we have to make the things that we love, the things that we create, visible. We have to do whatever we can. And I know there's a lot of shit out there, and, you know, people are like, oh, well, you're copying off of such and such. Hey, man, there's only like so many ideas that are original until you start recycling shit, you know. And in that case, you just got to make it your own. You just got to add your special sprinkle sprangle on it and make it work. But yeah, that's where I literally have been for the last however many weeks. I have not given you guys a show, and I am so fucking sorry about that. But that's where I've been. If you have people who are interested in sponsoring this podcast, sponsoring Colors of Burlesque, please give them my emails. For the podcast, it is undergroundmsbrown@gmail.com. For Burlesque, it is msbrownburls@gmail.com. I don't care. Just get the word out, because I need some fucking help. Oh my God, the bitch, she's broken. Well, other than me ranting and raving about the sadness of my life, which does not compare to the people who lost everything in the hurricane. I'm going to say that. What I'm going through right now does not compare. It sucks that they lost everything. It really does. And I fucking hate that. So if you're listening to this and you know of any way to help these people who've lost, and I'm not even talking about just in Florida, I'm talking about in Puerto Rico, I'm talking about anywhere that got affected by Hurricane Fiona and Ian, fucking help those people, man. Help those fucking people. Yeah, what I'm going through is really shitty, but theirs is worse. You know, help those fucking people. Well, other than that, you know, I do have a good show for you. Usually I say great show, but with my mental health, I'm going to say it's good. Michael is back with me as usual. We've got Pop and we've got a spoiler. So I'm going to go ahead, take a break, play you some musica, and then I will be back with Michael and Pop. I'm terrified of you. See, my castle may be haunted, but I'm terrified of you. I've cast my spell on millions, but I'm terrified of you. Baby, I do this from the ceiling, but I'm terrified of you. I wait my whole life to bite the right one. Then you come along and that freaks me out. So I'm frightened. Ooh, Dracula's I never ran from no one, but I'm terrified of you. See, my heartbeat is a slow one, but I'm terrified of you. I've been around for ages, but I'm terrified of you. Done my thing across the stage, but yet I'm terrified of you. I wait my whole life to find the right one. Then you come along and that freaks me out. So I'm frightened. Ooh, ooh. Dracula's wedding. You know I'm terrified. Oh, you know I'm terrified. You know I'm terrified. Shh. Here she comes.
Stake, oh, bad choice of words, but I'm not the gun. The silver bullets, and I can count
1, 2, 3.
Plus I make great peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Van Helsing.
For richer or poorer, through sickness.
All right, everyone, and we are back with our spoiler movie review, and the movie we are going to spoil for you on this very long-awaited episode is Bullet Train. It's so stupid. This came out August of this year, so here we go. The plot is 5 assassins aboard a swiftly moving bullet train to find out that their missions have something in common. Runtime for this film is 2 hours and 6 minutes. The MPAA rating is rated R. Your director is David Leitch. I hope I'm saying that right. That doesn't sound right.
Lecherous
piece of trash, maybe. I'm totally going to butcher the writer's name, so there we go. Oh, I totally cut one off. Writers are Zach
Galifianakis.
No, Olkiewicz.
Okay.
Olkiewicz, and it is based off of a novel, and I totally cut off the writer's name. I'm so sorry.
It was
sorry.
A Japanese lady.
A Japanese lady?
I know that.
Okay, there we go. Here's the cast for this film. Brad Pitt is Ladybug. Joey King is Prince. Aaron Taylor Johnson is Tangerine. Brian Tyree Henry is Lemon. Andrew Koji as Kimura. And one of my all-time favorite Japanese fucking actors. I don't care what anybody says. I love this guy. Hiroyuki Sanada as the Elder. Michael Shannon as White Death. Sandra Bullock as Maria. Maria. Bad Bunny as the Wolf, making his film debut. Zazie Beetz as the Hornet. And honorable mentions to Ryan Reynolds and Channing Tatum. Rotten Tomatoes score for this film. Critics gave it a 53%. Audience gave it a 76%. And take it away with your trivia, Michael.
Both of those seem low.
Yeah.
Anyways. Director David Leitch and Brad Pitt have a long working relationship before Bullet Train. Leitch has worked as Pitt's stunt double in multiple films, including Fight Club, Ocean's 11, Troy, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Okay.
Pitt also made a cameo in Leitch's second directorial effort, Deadpool 2.
Okay.
Sandra Bullock replaced Lady Gaga in
this movie. Okay.
And Ryan Reynolds' extremely short cameo as Carver was filmed remotely while he was on the set of his Netflix film, The Adams Project. And they said it was payback for Brad being in Deadpool 2 for also about 2 seconds.
That's what I thought, you know, when I saw those cameos. And what's really crazy is that Brad Pitt, Channing Tatum, and Sandra Bullock had also released a movie earlier this year. The Lost City, I think, is what it was. And they were all in it together.
I saw some trivia that was like, this one filmed first with Channing Tatum. So when they did the Channing Tatum, Sandra Bullock movie,
yeah,
they all liked working together. So they said, oh, we got this role. Ask Brad Pitt if he wants to do it.
Oh, for Bullet Train? Yeah. Oh, for Lost City?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So, like the plot did tell you, there's 5 assassins aboard a swiftly moving bullet train. So, yeah, bullet train pretty much tells you what it is. Brad Pitt is like the most unluckiest assassin that has ever lived. Everything goes fucking wrong every single time. And now he took some time off because I guess something happened to him. And, And so now he's coming back, and his code name is Ladybug, given to him by Sandra Bullock's character, Maria, because to be deemed lucky. Now, all he has to do, his assignment is literally this. Get a briefcase with a fucking train sticker on the handle. Excuse me, train sticker on the handle and fuck off. That's it. That's all he has to do. But every time you get a lot of flashbacks of every time he tries to do a mission, somebody dies that he's not looking to kill or anything like that. Or like this, there was a flashback of a Mexican wedding where all of a sudden everybody just started dying. Just crazy shit. So now he's on this train. And now when you tell me that the director has been his stunt double for years, now it makes sense why the stunts look so good. And I'm just going to be honest with you. That is a real reason why you need to have guys that used to be stuntmen or people that used to be stuntmen or stunt folks, I should say, because they are stunt ladies, you know, doing movies like this because they get it. They get the angles. They get the physicality of it because there was a lot. There was a lot of physicality. So as we're going through the bullet train, there's a lot. You get introduced to like new people almost every fucking scene. You're getting introduced to a new person. So the first person, not the first person, who's like the first person you meet is Tangerine and Lemon. Those are the first two people that you meet. They call themselves brothers. Now, if you don't know what Aaron Taylor Johnson and Brian Tyree Henry look like, go ahead and give yourself a Google. Because when they say they're brothers in this movie, you're like, what the absolute fuck? If you've seen the commercials, they do look like foster brothers. Yeah, they really do. They look like their parents like adopted somebody because you never see the parents. So now they have a mission where they have to bring a boy or a young man back to this fucking crime lord. Yeah, that's all we know. At this point in the movie, he's got to bring him back to a crime lord because the son's running around being a fucking asshole. It kind of reminds me of one of the John Wicks. Like there was a, I can't remember. Yeah, okay. It was the first one where like the son of a crime boss was being a real asshole and John Wick had to handle it.
Yes.
And I'm just like, okay, so we have to handle it. Oh, so there's so many like side stories in this fucking movie. One of them is there's a little boy that got pushed off of a little kid gets pushed off a building. He survives. Now he's in the hospital, but now his dad has to get on the same bullet train. His dad gets on the fucking bullet train and he's looking for somebody to be like, well, I'm going to kill this motherfucker,
He received a letter saying that I'm going to be on the bullet train.
Yeah, but he didn't know who fucking sent that letter. So he just gets on the goddamn bullet train looking for whoever sent him this fucking letter. It turns out to be fucking Joey King, the prince.
Which means nothing to me.
That's the prince. It was the prince that sent it.
I think she got second billing, and I'm like, who the hell is Joey King?
You asking me?
She's American. She looks British.
Oh,
I was in the kissing booth.
See, I don't know anything about that. I don't know who that is.
That was a trilogy of movies. They made three kissing booths.
Three kissing booths? Fuck off. Get out of here. So you had an American, yes, so you had basically two Americans playing British people. Who's Brian Tyree Henry.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you had two American actors playing British. Meanwhile, Aaron Taylor Johnson is, or he's either, I can't remember what he is. I don't know if he's British or Aussie or what the fuck. But,
ziggy, 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 ziggy.
Oi, 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 one of those. But yeah, he actually got to use his natural accent, which was interesting. So he gets on the bullet train and now he has to find out who the hell is trying to kill his kid. He finds out it's Prince. Prince is trying to kill his kid. We don't know why Prince is trying to kill his kid yet, but we will continue. So so that guy has a dad. His dad is Hiroyuki, is his father. And Hiroyuki is telling him, son, you don't have to do wild shit like this. You don't have to act like an ass. You don't have to do any of this. But the dude's like, dude, that's my grandson. I gotta protect him somehow. And then he's a fucking giving him shit. You should have been protecting him in the first place. I'm like, what the fuck is up with Hiroyuki? Like, come on, man. You my man. Why are you over here acting like this to this dude? He's trying to do his best. Like, I am trying to do my best. Hiroyuki, my man, he's just trying to do his best. So, the whole time Brad Pitt is going through this bullshit, he's got fucking Sandra Bullock in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandra Bullock told him he needed to take a gun with him, and he didn't take the fucking gun with him, like a dumbass.
Exactly.
He didn't take the gun with him. I do kind of want to, okay, so we're up to this point. So, we got... Prince then revealed herself. She on the train, got homeboy saying, if you don't do this, that, or the third, I'm gonna fuck your ass up. You got Tangerine and Lemon getting calls from the White Demon, from White Death,
mm-hmm.
saying, you gotta get off the train and show that you got dude and all of this crazy shit. And then you got Brad Pitt, then finally got the fucking suitcase. And now he done hid it somewhere. Mm-hmm. He done hid it somewhere. So what did you like? I should just ask you in the first place.
You normally ask what I like about the
movie.
Well,
then go ahead.
Well, I like that there are, they don't stay on any given story for too long so it doesn't get stale.
It doesn't.
I like how that they kept, this is a more of a trailer thing. The trailer didn't ruin the movie for you. You knew the two brothers were in it, and mm-hmm. you knew that Hiro Matsuzuki was in it, but you
hear what? What did you call my man?
I don't know. What's his name?
Do not Hiroyuki Sanada. You better fucking get it right. Don't be talking about my man like that. Sanada? That's my goddamn yes.
Does he own? Is he part of the Sanada group?
It's not S O N. It's S A N A D A. Oh, fuck your ass. Don't you? You better listen. Don't you ever talk about Hiroyuki like that?
So you know
like
those
that.
Couple people were in the movie because they got to give you. That.
They gotta give you those people.
But
yeah.
You had no idea about Channing Tatum. You had no idea about Zazie Beetz.
Nope.
You had no idea about Michael Shannon. You know, all
Thank
these characters
you.
Are like, whoa, you know, you didn't know that there was a White Death. They didn't give you in the trailer
any information about that.
They didn't give you in the trailer the whole premise of the fucking movie. So that way when I watched the movie, I was thoroughly enjoying it.
I mean, you did know it crashed at some point.
You knew yes, that was the second trailer. They ruined it. They told you the train crashed. Yes.
Yeah.
But on the first trailer, they didn't really give much. Get this thing and get out. Oh, and he keeps running into problems. Like, that's all I need to know for the movie. Let me enjoy the movie. And I enjoyed the movie. Funny as fuck.
Yeah, it was funny.
Funny as fuck. Like you said, tons of action scenes.
Yes.
And it had story plot lines interwoven within each other. There's
yeah.
two twists at the end. One of which I got and one of which I didn't get.
Oh, well, see, now you can tell it. That's why we call it the spoiler. Which one did you get?
So no one understood who the prince was.
Okay, so now you can tell. So when you get there, tell the backstory to how you figured it out.
Oh, okay, so the prince is the White Death's daughter.
Yes.
Who happened to be on the train and she killed her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, she didn't.
No, she didn't. Zazie Beetz killed him.
But when she found the brother dead, she spit in the brother's face, and this is before you knew they were brothers.
Yep, and I said, brother and sister, yeah.
I said, oh, that's too personal. She's probably the fucking sister.
And you're absolutely correct.
Because she had such a fucking hard-on to try to, I want to show that I can live in a man's world and da-da. I'm like, okay, so that's the brother, and she's the little sister, and she's trying to show daddy I'm here too. I'm like, I totally got it. So that was one twist.
That was one twist you got.
The other twist was the whole Murder on the Orient Express type of deal where they all had, you know, dealings with
the Thomas the Tank Engine shit.
No,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We'll get to that.
They all had something to do with the White Death.
Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Actually, it might not be more Murder on the Orient Express. It might be more of
Death on the Nile.
No, the Usual Suspects.
Okay.
Where everyone in there had fucked over
somebody.
Kaiser Soze.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So everyone on the train had fucked over the White Dragon at one point.
The White Death. Yep. Everybody. Yep.
I keep calling him the White Dragon.
I see you calling him White Dragon.
You know what? I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of.
Come on.
I'm thinking of John Cena, the Peacemaker.
The Peacemaker. Oh, Peacemaker. Oh, his daddy. Oh, fuck him. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I didn't realize that either until closer to the end that everybody had something to do with Michael Shannon's character, the White Death. So my homeboy Hiroyuki, he's the elder in the film. He was basically one of the last remaining people of the OG. The OG crime family. So when Michael Shannon's character comes in, the White Death, he's a Russian dude, and he come in and just like, oh, I'ma just fuck shit up, I'll do whatever homeboy say. But then he does a coup, and so Hiroyuki was one of the last people that was alive to see it, and he was so fucked up by the White Death, because the White Death killed his wife, but the son lived. So, okay. So he had to raise the son by himself. All right. Tangerine and Lemon, they just had to bring the son back with the money, with the ransom money.
Well, they fucked him over. Their whole thing, their whole claim to fame was, we're the guys who went to Bolivia.
Who did the Bolivia job.
And killed like 30 dudes in Bolivia. Well, those were Michael Shannon's fucking.
Oh, workers. That's right. Yes, they were all White Death's homeboys. And everybody was like, the Bolivia job, they would never show you all of the carnage, but you got the impression that the carnage was bad. And that's something that doesn't happen in a lot of movies either. Usually when you're like, and which is a Hitchcock trick, usually if they're like, oh, it's carnage, they're going to show you all the grossness and blah, blah, blah. Like that stupid shit I watched last night, fucking House of 1,000 Corpses. God damn it. I'm not going to talk about that. But in Bullet Train, you knew Bolivia was bad, but you didn't know how bad Bolivia was. Like, they weren't going to show you how bad Bolivia was, but you knew they did a Hitchcock trick, and your mind was like, it had to be horrible. It had to be, like, you saw them at one point sawing a piece of somebody's body. You saw them grab something, and then you saw and you just saw blood everywhere. You didn't know what they was cutting off, but you knew they was cutting something off of somebody, and you heard the scream. So, okay, I got to give them credit for that, because that's a Hitchcock trick that a lot of people don't use, especially in an action movie. Exactly, you want to see the blood, the guts, the holler, and the screaming. That's what you want to see in an action movie. But this action movie took it a little bit differently, and they didn't show the horrificness of Bolivia. It lets you imagine the horrificness of Bolivia. So, okay, so they had that one. What was, Bad Bunny. What was that one? Bad Bunnies. See, that's the thing. What was Bad Bunnies?
I can't remember Bad Bunnies. I remember Zazie Beetz.
Because she's the Hornet.
Zazie Beetz used poison to kill people, and she killed a doctor. Well, it just happens that the White
Death's
wife needed the doctor.
Oh,
and the doctor died the day before the surgery. So,
oh, fuck, that's fucked up. So that's,
and Bad Bunny.
That's what I'm like. I don't remember what Bad Bunny's was. Was White Death at that wedding?
No, I don't know. I can't remember why.
But all I know is that, well, the connect, there's, so there, then there's, the only real connection for Bad Bunny on that train is between Zazie Beetz and Brad Pitt, because Brad Pitt was also at the wedding, and Zazie Beetz had injected the cake with the poison, mm-hmm. so then everybody eats it, but for some reason, Bad Bunny didn't die.
Oh, I don't think he got a chance to.
Oh, he didn't get. Okay.
I don't think he got a chance to eat the cake.
Eat the cake. Okay. But yeah, that's true. It was Bad Bunny's wedding. So everybody fucking died except for him. So now he out here on this vendetta to kill Brad Pitt because he thought Brad Pitt was the killer. It wasn't Brad Pitt. It was motherfucking Zazie Beetz over here injecting people after she done stole a fucking snake from the goddamn zoo, mm-hmm. talking about, oh, the snake got out. No, the snake didn't get out. She went and gutted that snake because she needed the venom.
Yep.
And then she luckily had anti-venom on her. And at one point in the movie, Brad Pitt gets stuck with anti-venom and then gets stuck with the venom. So he's like, oh, I'm all right now.
I didn't get that part of the movie. We never really talked about that.
What?
They both got stung by the snake.
Mm-hmm.
Or they both got injected with the poison.
The anti-venom.
No, the venom.
Okay.
They got into a fight where she wanted to use the venom on him, and she pricked him a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but then he took her and injected the full dosage into her.
Yeah.
So they were both injected at the same time, mm-hmm. almost at the same moment, and she chose to use the anti-venom on him. I didn't get that.
I don't think she chose. I think he fucking manipulated the shit. Oh, okay. No, he didn't. That wasn't a choice, though. He manipulated the shit. Yeah. He manipulated the shit so that he would get the full dosage, not her.
And then he's like, oh, you don't have any more?
Like, you don't have... Oh, my God! So, okay, Brad Pitt's character throughout this entire movie, he is trying so hard to stay calm and be cool about shit. So, in that scene where Zazie Beetz over here done and she accidentally injected him with the anti-venom, so now she's fucking freaking out because, you know, the thing is, if you get that venom in your system within 30 seconds, you will die. So, he's over here going, oh, can I get you something? Can I get you peanuts or something? You mean you don't have an extra one? Like, why do you only carry one? Like, he an EpiPen? He the whole time he's trying so hard to hold on to the things that he learned while he was away from his therapist. He is trying his fucking best. And you got to give it to him because, to be honest with you, that's how life feels sometimes. Your ass is on a fucking bullet train and all this bullshit is coming at you and you just got to be calm and you just got to be cool about it. Listen here, bullet train is just a metaphor for life. So go watch Bullet Train. Bullet Train is a fucking metaphor for life. Something else that they did in the movie that was really cool, I saw with Tangerine and Lemon's relationship. Lemon, who is Brian Tyree Henry, he was like obsessed with Thomas the Tank Engine, the cartoon. And luckily, everybody else knew what he was talking about. So he would classify people, one person as somebody as a Thomas. And I can't really remember the other classifications.
I know there was a Diesel.
That's what I was about to get to. So if you were classified as a Diesel, that means you're running around trying to pretend like you're cool, but you're not. You're orchestrating this shit. You're essentially the bad guy. So he would have a bunch of stickers and he would put stickers on people to say, oh, well, this is what you are. This is what you are. Da 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 da. So in one scene where, it looks like Brian Tyree Henry is getting killed by Prince. He got close enough to mark her, and his brother Tangerine saw the sticker, and the sticker said it was a Diesel. So he was basically letting everybody else on the train who had talked to him know, bro, watch out. That's the Diesel. And listen here, she played her Diesel part real good because she was fooling. She was trying to fool everybody. Oh my God, this mean man, he's going to get me. And he told me that if I didn't do this, that he was going to kill somebody. And did it. Listen here, she was turning up that poor victimization turn real high. And it was working on a lot of people because they just looked at her and thought, oh, she's just a little girl. So that's what everybody was thinking. Like, oh, she's just a little girl. They're not going to do nothing to her. And she was dressed like a schoolgirl. And I'm sitting here going, is she a grown-ass woman? I'm like, bitch, come on. She knew what she was doing. But I thought that was really cool how they... Thomas the Tank Engine. is the thing that saved every motherfucking body because they realized the little girl was the fucking Diesel. But the Ryan Reynolds, I was going to talk about the Ryan Reynolds cameo. That comes in because Brad Pitt has to do a job because Carver
called out.
We don't know who the fuck Carver is. No idea, no clue, whatever. Until you get to the end and somebody said,
the white desk, like, and yes, Carver, you drove into my wife's car.
Yes!
That's why she needed to go to the hospital. He's like, I'm not Carver.
He kept saying, yo, I'm not Carver. And then you see the scene where he hit the white death's wife's car, and he walks out and takes something off. He walks out and it's just fucking Ryan Reynolds. I said it loud, this motherfucker. Like, he's just out of nowhere. But Channing Tatum came in before that, and
Jenna Tatum's character was fucking funny as shit.
My man was like, is this where the sex stuff happens? Like, something like that.
He kept
that.
Trying to do gay stuff on the train with strangers.
Yo, my man, listen.
He's like, I got to do a this and this. And he's like, oh yeah, you're gonna do that in the bathroom? Do you need me to come with you? And he's like, oh, what the fuck you talking about?
I forgot if it was Brad Pitt or somebody said something at the end to him. And he's just sitting there. He's like, is this where the sex stuff happens? I'm like, yo, my man. Yeah. It was just out of nowhere. There was a lot of comedy in it. And it was just coming out of fucking nowhere. The comedy in it was coming out of nowhere. And I loved it. Because, yeah, you expect some action movies to have comedy. But this was just straight up hilarious. Like the lady who kept shushing them in the quiet car. Oh,
while they were having a fight.
Yes. Him and Brian Tyree Henry. Yes, I have to give it to the stunt coordinator and I have to give it to the director for the stunts in this particular film because it was just, the shit was amazing. I loved it. I fucking loved all the goddamn stunts. The quiet fight scene was hilarious. His fight scene with Aaron Taylor Johnson in the car where the ladies come and get their shit, where they get their shit in the carts. And he's like, oh, can I get a bubbly water? And they just sent, and Aaron Taylor Johnson just sent it up.
Oh, the comedy part. He's like, oh, she'll be that $20. And he's like, oh, I don't have it. Do you think you could get it?
Yeah. He gave her ass fucking $20. He's like, dude, it's like, that's fuck. I can't. It was like 10 something. It's like 10 something for a bottle of water. And he was like, you done? He's like, Brad Pitt's like, yeah. Whew. Wow! Crush that bottle right up against that man's head. I said, Jesus, yes. It was so good. And it's just like everybody finally, everything ties up in the end. Hiroyuki finally has his showdown with the White Death.
Do you want another piece of trivia?
Yes, please.
So, David Tyree Henry.
David? That's not his name?
What's his name?
Brian.
I'm thinking of David Washington. So, Brian.
John David. Oh, my God.
You know.
John David Washington is not in this movie. You are thinking of Brian Tyree Henry.
These guys got to stop having serial killer names.
No.
I can only do two names. No. I can't do three names
no.
all the time.
No. Brian Tyree Henry. Continue.
So, Henry hits
come on.
The prince at the end. Saving everyone.
Yeah.
That truck was the same truck that almost ran over Brad Pitt in the beginning of the movie.
I fucking love how this shit is so bookended. That was okay. Okay. That was good. And it was a tangerine truck.
A lemon and tangerine truck.
Yeah. Oh my God. Because at this point in the movie, Tangerine has died. Tangerine is dead at this point, but Brian Tyree Henry wasn't. Everybody thought he was. And so did Tangerine. So Tangerine.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
The spoiler.
So Tangerine took his necklace off and put it onto Lemon. Well, Lemon's not dead because Lemon had Kevlar on. And he goes, and then he looked down and he saw the bloody necklace. And the first question out of his mouth was, where's my brother? Because he knew if the necklace was on him, that was their signal to let each other know somebody had died. So I was like, that's fucking crazy. But I love their little relationship, though. They were like comic relief, but not consistently. They were arguing about how many people they had killed on one job. Was it 16 or 17? So they had a flashback.
Oh, more trivia.
Of them going and killing the people, and they were counting them down. But what's the trivia?
There was 16 people. The 17th was an innocent bystander. That's why they got confused.
Oh, okay.
But that bystander was a director cameo.
You know what? Okay, that's what I thought, because I know that he showed up somewhere in there. I know that he did that. I know he showed up somewhere in there, which I think is really cool. I like it. But everybody, I love how everybody gets theirs in the fucking end. Everybody gets it. Everybody's alive. And I love how, because Prince was holding the Hiroyuki's grandchild hostage, talking about, if my man doesn't hear my phone call or my voice, they're going to kill your grandson. Hiroyuki said, bitch, fuck you. You think I don't got nobody watching him? Soon as homeboy went to try and kill the grandson, the nurse said, ka-chow, and fucked his ass up. I said, there you go. You think for one second an old man who was in the mob that your daddy thought he could run, you think for one second that man ain't got his own soldiers on the ground? You a lie. Bitch, you a lie. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
I was very surprised that it only got 65% users?
For the critics, it was 53%. Audience, 76%. Yeah, I was surprised by that, too.
Yeah.
Because I like a good shoot 'em up, just turn your brain off movie. And that's exactly what Bullet Train is. Bullet Train is a turn your brain off, have a ride movie.
I feel like if you're like a woman and you don't really like action movies, like,
then don't see this.
No, like if your boyfriend brought you to this, there was enough comedy and story to kind of,
yeah,
to take your mind off all the violence or whatever.
And, like, and you're and you're absolutely right. And then come on, you not gonna get hot watching Aaron Taylor Johnson fight people? Fit, bitch, fuck you. That
so
man
I'm
is fine.
I'm surprised it was only so the basically you watchers gave it a C-, and then critics gave it an F.
Yeah, critics gave it an F. And
I feel like it should be more like maybe the critics give it a C- because it's an action movie and they don't want to pretend. You know how critics are. I only like movies that are art, you know. So maybe they give it like a C-, but like watchers give it like a B+, A or something.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I think...
I want more of this.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want Bullet Train 2, but I want more movies like this.
Like that. Yes. The first thing I thought of when I saw this movie, I thought of Shoot 'Em Up. That's what I thought of. That was me. I love that movie. That is one of my favorite Clive Owen movies in the world. Shoot 'Em Up. I love, and that's exactly what it is. It's just a fucking Shoot 'Em Up movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can turn your fucking brain off. You just watch. That's exactly what Bullet Train is.
I feel like this was, it had like a little mystery to it.
Yes, it did. It had a dash of mystery on Orient Murder on Orient Express
exactly,
on there.
Exactly.
It did. It did have a lot of Orient okay, that's the...
And I didn't even... They wrapped it up in the plot. Like, okay, all these people fucked over
the
White Death, kind of your Kaiser Soze. I didn't even ask for that. I didn't even need all of that, and you gave it to me. And
Thank you!
And people didn't like it.
Like it? Go fuck yourself. This is why you get shit movies.
Yeah.
This is why they reboot
Charlie's Angels.
Thank you. And then fucking Elizabeth Banks is like, it's because men didn't want to watch it. No, bitch. It's because we didn't ask for it. We didn't ask for that. See, I know it sounded like fucking Billy Eichner, who was getting, I know that was that, you know, Billy Eichner over here getting fucking mad because he's saying straight people didn't go see Bros. Well, dude, studio numbers also said that gay people didn't go see it either.
You know what? I'll give him this. I'll give him this.
Hmm.
I can understand he's upset. And I'm like, and I'm thinking the movie just came out like 3 or 4 days ago. Why is he so upset? They don't keep movies in the theater long enough.
Thank you.
So maybe if you don't get people in the first week, you are fucked.
And
you know?
There
and
it
maybe
is.
Maybe that's why he's so quick to start swinging away. Why I feel like
but okay, but
because I actually will go see that. I would go see that movie.
I'd go see it.
The trailer looked funny, and I don't give a shit if they're gay people or not. But, I mean, we were busy last weekend. So.
Exactly. You know, there was a fucking hurricane. You know, it's... And the thing that really pissed me off about Billy Eichner was that he just fucking... just immediately just said, only straight people didn't go. No, bitch. It wasn't just straight people who didn't go see it. How about all of the other people in the Alphabet Mafia that you didn't include in this film didn't go see it? I mean, you talking about it's two gay dudes in a romance. Don't get me wrong. Is it important? Yes. I'm not saying that it's not. So don't be getting in my emails, jumping down my fucking balls about it. I'm not saying that this film is not important. But from the trailers that I have seen, this film does not look inclusive. I said what I motherfucking said. It doesn't.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. If it's the first gay, openly gay romantic comedy, you might not have time for that. Yeah, everybody wants to be all inclusive, but you might have to start somewhere and work your way up.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. It could have been inclusive in their friend circle. It could have been inclusive. It didn't have to be a large...
The thing is, the only other gay character I saw was the one gay guy.
The guy talking about he getting railed by a muscular Dumbledore. Yeah. Exactly. But you think for one second you couldn't find a Latino, Black, or Asian openly gay actor who couldn't play that part that isn't fucking Billy Porter, please? You know? Thank you. So you gonna sit up here and say, I mean, don't get me wrong, the representation in the club scene was accurate. It wasn't nothing but a bunch of gay dudes, fat ones and muscle ones. That's accurate. From my years of going to the gay clubs, that's accurate. Because it sure be a bunch of them motherfuckers in there. I mean, I rarely see Black gay dudes or lesbian or bisexual or transgender Black folks in a club. But that club scene in Bros was very accurate. Just from the trailers alone, that scene is very accurate. And here's the thing. He's getting mad about a movie that wasn't marketed to the fan base he's getting mad at. It wasn't, that film was not marketed to straight people.
I mean, how do you market
to
a straight person?
Thank you.
What, put it on like NFL?
What you gonna do, put it on between NFL, between games, something? But that's what I'm saying. He get mad about that bullshit. And I'm like, bro, it wasn't for them. So don't expect them to come. No, if you finna get mad at anybody, get mad at your own people for not coming out.
Plus, I feel like some of these Marvel movies, they market for like 2 months up until the movie, and it's like, yo, I can't wait for this movie to come out because I'm tired of seeing these fucking commercials. And I don't feel like that was the way.
That
for
was
Bro.
Not the case with Bros.
I feel like they did it for like 2 weeks, and that was it. Like,
yeah, and I'm like, you did it for 2 weeks. You weren't really doing a lot
maybe
of.
That's
the,
all the. Maybe that's
all the studio
the
wanted to get
him. Wanted to give him. I don't know.
See, and that's the thing. You get mad pointing at the wrong people mm-hmm. when you need to be pointing at the studio. Don't point at me. Mm-hmm. Point at the studio. Don't get mad. I mean, don't get mad at the rest of us who didn't come out. Get mad at the studio. That's you sounding. He sounding real Ridley Scott right now.
Martin Scorsese.
Yep, he sounding real Martin Scorsese right now.
You don't like my really long, boring movie?
No, motherfucker. No, I'd rather turn my goddamn brain off and watch Bullet Train. You know, but yeah, Bullet Train is still in theaters right now. Probably not for very long. So
I
you
think
gotta,
there was only two showings the day
we went to see it.
We went to see
oh
it.
Yeah,
like so you said it came out in August and it's October.
In October
and like
now.
Like I said, movies don't stay out in the movie theaters for too long.
Exactly. So if you do miss, if you miss the chance to watch it,
I say if you get a chance to see it now, watch it now. If not, make a chance to go.
Yeah, make a chance to see it once it becomes available on streaming. Don't discount this movie just by the trailers. Please do not discount Bullet Train. Bullet Train is actually fun. It's just a turn your brain off and it has a great story. It is. It's like fucking Murder on the Orient Express and what was the other movie?
Usual Suspects.
It's like you combine that and throw in some really great stunt work. This is what you have. You have Bullet Train. All right, everyone, that's going to wrap it up for our spoiler movie review. We're going to take a break, play you some musica, and then I will be back all by myself to close out your show.
I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine. You better stop the things you do.
You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, daddy. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. Yeah, yeah. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. You're mine.
Thank you for listening to another fabulous episode of The Underground with Ms. Brown. Again, I want to thank Mike for being my co-host on the show as always. Oh, thank you so much for coming onto the show and making sure I don't fall a fucking part. All right, let me go ahead and get into that social media shit that you guys love. If you guys are interested in following the show, you can follow us on Podomatic. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram, which I am still actually keeping up with a very old tradition, the Halloween Hotties. I think today we're at number 6. So go ahead and follow that on Facebook and Instagram. If you would like to email the show for any reason, you have questions, you want to be a guest on the show, you would like to sponsor, or you would like to give a donation to help keep this show going and not watch me go into mental and financial poverty, you can go ahead and email me at undergroundmsbrown@gmail.com. Again, that is undergroundmsbrown@gmail.com. If you want to follow the information about burlesque, the Ms. Brown's Colors of Burlesque, or you want to follow, yeah, just that, yeah, Ms. Brown's Colors of Burlesque, you can go ahead and follow that on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to follow me, yes, me like the creeper that you are, you can follow me on Facebook, that's Barbarella Brown, on Twitter, Ms. Gabby 83, and you can also follow me on the Clock app, that is TikTok, the Ms. Brown 83. Donations, they are not the trash. I am taking donations and sponsorships for Ms. Brown's Colors of Burlesque and The Underground with Ms. Brown. You can go ahead and drop a couple shekels into my digital tip jars. That is Venmo, Ms. Brown 83, Cash App, Ms. Brown COB,
COB,
and PayPal, Ms. Gabby 83. If you would also like to book me for your private event or for your burlesque show, if you are a burlesque producer who lives in Florida and now Georgia, you can email me at msbrownburles@gmail.com. Again, that is Ms. Brown, B-U-R-L-E-S, @gmail.com for booking in the ye olde states of Florida and Georgia. Also, I did mention another one of my babies. I do have a spiritual witchy woo-woo shop called Virgo Vanity 2021. We are on Etsy, Instagram, and Facebook. The links to purchase are in the link tree in all of those. Whoop-de-doo. All right, what's up next? Oh, yeah. Where in the world is Ms. Brown gonna be next? Now, remember, you heard me crying about low ticket sales for this, so I'm gonna pump it into your ear one more time. Saturday, October 15th, Ms. Brown's Colors of Burlesque 3-year anniversary show at the ME Theater in Orlando, Florida. VIP is $25. General admission is $20. We will be selling tickets at the Doe. You can get those tickets online at Ms. Brown Burlesque. Eventbrite.com. Ladybug.com. Saturday, November 12th, I am doing one of my last charity shows for the year. I do those every once in a while, but it's got to be a good reason. Again, Saturday, November 12th, I'm doing the Foxy Slay Fall Showcase at Foxy Fitness Pole and Foxy Fitness Pole Studio. There we go. Get those words, bitch. In Ocoee, Florida. Ticket info will be available on afoxieryou.com. Ow. And Friday, December 2nd, the rescheduled Showstoppers Classic Burlesque Review. We originally were supposed to go in September, but due to Hurricane Ian, we had to reschedule. Again, Friday, December 2nd, the Showstoppers Classic Burlesque Review at Stompy's Hatchet House in Jacksonville, Florida. Tickets are available on bit.ly, that is bit.ly/showstoppersburlesque.com. All right, that is actually, those are all of my appearances for the rest of the year. Again, if you want to book me for anything, because you know I'm trying not to go into mental and financial poverty, you can go ahead and book me at msbrownburls@gmail.com. I'll come shake my ass, but I don't do it for free. All right, kids, that's going to be it for me. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for hanging in there while I was gone for however long, trying not to go absolutely fucking insane. I hope you laughed. I hope you cried. And I hope you spilled some milk. Talk to you later. Bye. Ha ha ha.